GoDaddy.com. Use the code PODSAVE, that's PODSAVE 139, for $5 off of orders that are $30 or more. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1346, May 29, 2010.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. let's see, there was no podcast last night. The night before last, I had unloaded up in Manuka, Illinois. And so then after that, they sent a load that it picked up at, they sent me over, they had me swap out with this other driver at Moni, Illinois. There's a Petro truck stop over there, and so they had me go over there and pick that load up. That load delivered to Russellville, Arkansas today. So I spent the night last night on U.S. Highway 67. There's this place called Moark, M-O-A-R-K, Arkansas, on U.S. Highway 67, and it's right on the Missouri-Arkansas state line, and so that's where I spent the night at. I was fairly tired when I got there, and so I pretty much, you know, went straight to bed. Then I, you know, kind of woke up this morning and messed on the computer for a while, and, you know, to finish out the 10-hour break after I woke up. And then once the break was up, I headed on down to Russellville. So in the meantime, originally the plan was that I was just going to go to Russellville and, drop and hook there and then go on home. Well, so in the meantime, before I got to Russellville, one of the dispatchers had sent this message saying, we have this load that needs to be picked up at Russellville. Can you do it? I'm planning on having you just take it home. The load was going to Gas City, Indiana. Have you just take it home and we'll have a driver come and get it. And so, but in the meantime, while I was dropping and hooking in Russellville, the same dispatcher sent this other message saying, well, there's this driver that is in Little Rock. His truck is just getting out of the shop. We're going to send him over. Can you take the thing to the truck stop? And we're going to send him over and have him pick it up from you. And so that's what ended up happening. They had me, I just went to, there's a Pilot truck stop there at Russellville. And so I waited, I guess I ended up waiting about probably 2 hours or more, about 2 hours, a good 2 hours, and he finally got over there. He was nice enough. He did go ahead and wash the empty trailer out that he had. He went ahead and washed that out for me, and so that, you know, at least whenever I go back to work in a few days, I won't have to worry about getting the trailer washed out. But that driver was telling me that he 4 days previously, he was getting fuel. He's filling his truck up at, there's a Pilot truck stop over in this North Little Rock. And so he had filled his truck up with fuel, and then he pulled forward. And so there was this, I guess it was a Werner truck. The guy just wasn't paying attention, and when he pulled out, he, you know, kind of took the guy's fender off. He ended up obviously going into a shop, and I think he said Werner paid for it. They did pay, you know, to pay to repair, and I'm sure they paid him probably for his motel room and then plus some extra money, you know. So, but that still, I mean, that's a nightmare if someone does that to, you know, they kind of pull out and take the front of your truck off. Stuff like that does end up happening. So, in any case, so that driver had been, his truck had been in the shop for 4 days, and so he was able to come over and get that load and then head on towards Indiana. And so I was able to, after I got his empty trailer, I headed, immediately headed on home. So I got home, I guess it was probably around 7:20, somewhere in that area, this evening. It was still daylight, and so once I made it home, I've been kind of messing around with computers and watched a little television. I want to talk a little bit about yourbabycanread.com. Your Baby Can Read is a truly revolutionary infant reading system. It was developed by a leading infant researcher, Dr. Robert Titzer, who taught his own daughter to read when she was just 9 months old. Your Baby Can Read taps into children's natural ability to learn language in the first 5 years. The reading system includes videos, books, flashcards, and games. Go to www.yourbabycanread.com. to watch real home videos of infants and toddlers reading. A 6-month-old recognizing words on flashcards, an 18-month-old reading sentences, a toddler reading Charlotte's Web. Try it yourself risk-free and see what your child can do. And you can find that, actually, you go to www.yourbabycanread.com. And there will be a link, actually, there's a link in the show notes, it's actually a slash podcast. Give the lifelong gift of early literacy to your child. So, in any case, I was, after I made it home, the other day, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I went ahead, a few days ago, I went ahead and ordered a 2 terabyte drive from Amazon.com for this Windows Home server, because I was already, with all the backups that I made, I was already up to like 1.3 terabytes. And of course, the Windows Home server came with a 1.5 terabyte hard drive. So I think I had roughly 200 gigabytes left. And so I went ahead and ordered a 2-terabyte drive from Amazon.com. And so that was one of the first things I did when I made it home this evening. I installed that 2-terabyte drive, and it's a pretty simple process. You just open the front of the HP Windows Home server up, and you pull out one of the empty drawers. There's, you know, because one of them obviously is already populated with a 1.5 terabyte drive that came with it. And so I just, you know, pulled out one of those. There's three other empty drawers. There's a total on the machine I have, there's a total of 4 drive bays. So I pulled one of those out and put the new 2 terabyte drive into it and put it back in, turned it back on, and went into the settings and told it that I wanted to add storage, and it simply adds it right in. And that process was pretty quick, and so I've got it right now. It's backing up my 17-inch MacBook Pro, and of course that's the one that I'm always using all the time. And so it's backing that data up right now. And so while I'm home, I'm going to be doing a lot more backing up. Don't really have to back. I'm using right now, I'm recording this on this 13-inch MacBook that I have. And, you know, I've used it a little bit. I'll probably back it up. And then that netbook, I used it a little bit. It probably doesn't even really need to be backed up because it didn't really make that many changes on it. But I do have some external drives that I want to also back up onto the server. So got some more backing up to do. But that was a very easy process to simply add the drive to it and just tell it, you know, once I turned it back on and it booted back up, just went into the settings and basically told it, hey, I want to add this drive. It found the drive, and it was a very simple process. Now, Windows Home Server, even though it appears that you've got a drive C, you know, once you log into it, it appears that it has a drive C and so on and so forth. But that's actually deceptive because it uses a little bit of a different file structure. It simply adds, it's sort of an extension type thing, and it adds the other drive in. And, you know, so it's not really the conventional thing where you have separate drives, or, you know, in the case of OS X, you'd have separate volumes, you know, with partitions and what have you. With Windows Home Server, you add drives, and it simply, you know, it's simply, even though you, when you log in, you can see drive C, it's really, it's just adding space in, and, you know, so it's a little bit of a different, it works on a little bit of a different file system. So, but that was pretty easy, and so I've got, as I say, I've got that MacBook Pro backing up right now, and, be working more with that over the next few days, you know, kind of backing up some of the external drives that I have, particularly the one that I've got, you know, I've got a bunch of pictures and stuff that I've scanned to it, and so I definitely want to back that one up, but, you know, can't ever have too many backups. Backups are good. And I guess if I really wanted to be safe, it kind of depends on how much room I end up using. But if I really wanted to be safe, you can put extra drives in there and tell it that you want to turn on drive mirroring. And, you know, of course, that takes up twice as much space if you turn on drive mirroring, but then it's obviously it's even safer in case, you know, in case one of the drives should fail, then it, you know, then you're still safe. But so I don't know. I might do that at some point, but right now I'm just more concerned with just getting backups of everything, just kind of a primary backups, and then, you know, I don't think anybody ever really, you know, a lot of people don't back up as much as they should, because drives do fail. I've had drives fail before, you know, where they'll, you know, like in a laptop or whatever, you know, they start making a kind of a sick clicking sound. You know, the drives can either fail. I think they're probably most prone to failing, just bang, they fail, and all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore. But I've also seen hard drives that will start slowing down, and you have bad sectors, and so you know, so they can fail, kind of begin to fail slowly. But I think, you know, overall, it's been my experience that they don't do that; that they simply all of a sudden they just fail, and there you are. And that can happen. I guess on average, they say that a drive, it doesn't really matter how much they've been used, but that, you know, chances are that they're going to fail within about five years is the average lifespan of a hard drive. You know, of course, that you know, your average may vary, your mileage may vary, but that's just the average that a lot of different people, that's the statistic that they've come up with, is that that on average, that if, you know, that they can begin to fail at about 5 years. But of course, some drives will last a lot longer than that, and some drives will fail much sooner than that. You never really know. But if you back up, and of course, if a drive is going to fail, then, you know, there's probably no good time for a drive to fail. If it's going to fail, you know, it's a lot of times it's, you know, people will be doing something and it's kind of, it'll fail during a critical time or when you really need it. It's kind of like, you know, well, it's kind of like my air conditioner, you know, that although my air conditioner, it could have waited, you know, when I was home the last time, I discovered that my central air conditioning unit here in the house was no longer working. And it really wasn't that hot yet. Now, it could have failed. A lot of times things will fit like that will fail when you're really stressing them, when you're, you know, during the hottest part, or maybe your furnace fails during the coldest part of the winter. And, but, you know, so it didn't really, you know, I'm glad I was able to discover that before the cooling season really began in earnest. So, you know, things do fail, and hard drives are one of those things that can fail, and they will fail. And so you're better off if you just, kind of heed the warnings and do the backups, and you're much better off. Now, one of the video podcasts that I'm subscribed to, and I've mentioned it before, it's a video podcast called HD Nation. It's one of the Revision 3 podcasts, and it's got Robert Herron and Patrick Norton in it, and once in a while they'll throw, you know, Roger Chang will step in when one of the other two are gone. Roger Chang, I think, is the producer, but in any case, that's a once a week, about 30 minutes long. It's a once a week Revision 3 podcast, and they talk about all kinds of different set-top boxes, Blu-ray, so on and so forth. Anything about home theater and high-definition video is game. And so in this latest episode I think I watched it yesterday, or maybe the day before. I don't know. Might have been the day before. Spending the last couple of days, they were talking about Apple TV hacks, and I had heard of this before or something similar. But there's this thing called ATV Flash, and there's a website, ATVFlash.com. And the way this works, you buy this program, and I believe it's about $50. You buy this program and you download it, and you either get it for Mac or PC, and so you buy this program, and then it basically, then you have to have a, like, you know, you have to have, you know, some sort of a USB key. It's $49.95. You have to have a USB key. And what this does, you run this program on your computer, either the Mac version or the PC version, whichever. And whichever computer you're going to generate the files for the USB key. And you run it on there, and then you plug in the USB key, and it puts the files that you need onto the USB key, and then you simply follow the instructions, and what that ends up doing, you plug that into your Apple TV, and then that causes you restart the Apple TV, and that causes the Apple TV to boot from the USB key. And then it modifies the Apple TV. It doesn't, you know, it kind of adds some stuff to the Apple TV menu, so that you can run Boxy and do all kinds of neat things, actually, from the Apple TV. So it's basically adding a lot of functionality to Apple TV. It enables you to have an external, you know, you can plug in a larger external hard drive into the Apple TV, do all kinds of neat things with an Apple TV. And, of course, I have an Apple TV, and basically the way the Apple TVs, of course, that Apple sells are basically, they're sort of like an iTunes extender, or they're sort of like, they sort of, what they end up doing, they turn your television set into a sort of a giant video iPod, essentially. And so, but this ATV Flash program basically makes the Apple TV much more useful. And so I think, you know, for $49.95, I'm thinking about doing this, going ahead and hacking the Apple TV. And I think it even puts a browser on there. I haven't watched any of their, they've got videos on there. I'm looking at their website right now. They've got videos on here that sort of demonstrate, you know, some of the functionality that you have. And so that there's a lot of, it gives you a lot of extra functionality, a ton of extra, you know, for, as I say, it enables you to play all, you know, a bunch of different file formats, additional file formats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I do think I'm going to go ahead and do this, you know, but that looks kind of like a neat way of turning an Apple TV into a more of a real set-top box that, you know, it gives it a lot more functionality than what Apple actually gives you. So that ought to, you know, I'm looking forward to doing that. Now, one of the podcasts I was listening to today, they were talking about, again, you know, the HTC Evo telephone, and they were saying, one of the people was, it was the Twit, it was a Leo Laporte Twit podcast, and Patrick Norton was on there, and he was saying that actually the data plan from Sprint, which I was concerned about, the data plan from Sprint actually is unlimited. So I'm gonna be checking that out. If it is unlimited, then I probably, you know, there's a better chance I'm gonna go ahead and get the HTC Evo once it becomes available. But that's kind of going to be one of the determining factors as to whether or not that data plan is unlimited. If it's not, you know, as I say, I'm going to kind of read the fine print and sort of discover really what's going on with it. I want to know the nitty-gritty details of it. And because the data plan that I have right now on this HTC Touch phone that I have that runs Windows Mobile is unlimited. And there have been, you know, recently I've been using iTunes and my iPod for my, to listen to podcasts with. But in the, for about a year and a half, I was using that, my phone as my, you know, I've got a podcast aggregator program loaded on there. And I was, you know, for a long time, I used it as the aggregator and also the playback device. Now, the reason I kind of stopped was because I was starting to, you know, the Mevio, I've got this Mevio playlist, it's called My Playlist, that I had all these podcasts kind of loaded into, and then, you know, I only had to type a single feed into the phone, and so it was able to draw on all these different podcasts using that one feed from Mevio. Well, for some reason, that kind of stopped working, and it's still not working. You know, and it's been several months at this point. It's still not working. But so, you know, if I can find, you know, I'll find a different method of kind of recreating, you know, putting all those podcasts into one feed using some other site. I could probably even use something like Google Reader to do that. I don't know that there's, it's possible that I could use Google Reader in that capacity and create a just a list of podcast sites instead of just reading tech blogs or whatever, and then put that into that aggregator in my phone and start using the phone once again, either this phone or any phone I get in the future, again, once again as my podcast aggregator. So we'll just have to wait and see, and then that'll take some of the pressure, because I am using, right now I've been using this Verizon Air Card, formerly Alltel, and with Alltel it was unlimited, and so far Verizon has been honoring that. They haven't complained. They haven't sent me any nasty letters or called me on the phone, but I've just been really using the heck out of it, and with downloading mostly audio but several video podcasts, and I don't want to push my luck with that, so I think I'd like to go back to using my telephone as my podcast aggregator and playback device. So I'm going to try to do that over the next few days, see if I can kind of get that straightened back out again, and kind of move back to the phone as the podcast aggregator and playback device. So we'll have to see how that goes. I can do that, as I say, I can do that with my current telephone, or if I do get this HTC Evo, once it becomes available on June the 4th, get it sometime after that. And of course, there's a podcast programs that people have made me aware of that will install into Android on the phone. Now, one other option would be, instead, if I decide not to get the HTC Hero or Evo, I could get the HTC Hero, which is still a very neat telephone. It doesn't offer the ability to create a Wi-Fi hotspot. It can't do that, but it does all the other things, and it's got the latest version of Android on it. And so I might, that one is a possibility. If I do get a different phone, it's probably going to be the Evo, but so we'll have to wait and see. As I say, I want to be able to handle the phone in person and kind of see actually how large it is. Excuse me. And also really read the fine print and kind of find out what differences Sprint is making with the, because they're making some specific rules as far as their services go. They're making some specific rules for the Evo, kind of setting it apart from the rest of their phones, the phones that they offer. But I don't know. One of the things that I'm really surprised by, because Sprint has handed these phones out, and very wisely, they've handed these phones out to a lot of journalists, at least the ones that I'm seeing or hearing talk in podcasts. They've handed this phone out in advance, and those people who I kind of, I tend to trust what they say. Those people the journalists that have gotten them, the tech journalists that have gotten these HTC Evo phones, are just pretty much consistently raving about them, saying what a wonderful phone they are. So that that makes me at least want to go in and look at it and kind of play with it once it's available, and maybe I won't at this point. I don't know. I probably will. If the phone kind of lives up to the hype, then I may well end up going ahead and getting it. So, but otherwise, we'll just have to you know, I'm just going to have to wait until June the 4th. So, you know, and of course, I'm supposed to go back to work on the 3rd. So, if I don't, you know, obviously I won't be able to get it while I'm home if I do decide to get it. But, you know, I'll just have to go into a Sprint store somewhere. And I do see them around. Just find a place where I can park and go into a Sprint store. And it doesn't really matter which Sprint store I go into to get it. So we'll just have to wait and see. So anyway, I think I'm going to cut this off here. It's about 12:35 a.m. in the morning, Saturday morning. So it's early in the morning, late at night, however you want to look at it. And I did get up kind of early this morning because I went to bed last night, and then I woke up, it was probably about 6:30 or something this morning when I woke up. So I am getting kind of tired, and I don't want to end up staying up half the night and then, you know, really getting my hour screwed up. So I'm going to see if I can't get headed to bed here pretty quick. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.